Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
What's up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
We're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got nothing for 4K Spotlight, but we do have some stuff to talk about with Through the Wall. First time in a while, we just got three trailers to talk about, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
and then after that, we'll be moving on to our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. So, Caleb, what do you say we get started?
I say let's do it.
All right.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, so starting with Through the Wall, like I said, we got three trailers to talk about. Starting with the first trailer for Blue Beetle, a superhero I know jack shit about.
I know a little bit about him, and that's mostly due to me watching Young Justice on HBO.
Okay. I want to say I saw the... wasn't he in Smallville?
He was. He was in Smallville for, I think, one episode.
I did see the suit, and God, this one is such a huge improvement over that one.
Well, that's not fair. That was a really lower budget show.
I know. But I'm just saying, it's a very nice improvement.
Yeah, very much so. But I really like the character of Jaime Reyes. I think it's going to be exciting to have a Hispanic-based character on screen. And have him be like a major focus, almost like, not saying that like Namor wasn't, but it'll be interesting to see like the Hispanic family dynamics come into play. I feel like that's something that I'll be able to relate to pretty heavily, and I'm just excited. I love the actor that they got to play Jaime Reyes. And yeah, I love the character of Blue Beetle as well. It's kind of like DC's Spider-Man, if I'm trying to make a direct comparison, but it looks really freaking good.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Like I said, I know nothing about the character, but the suit looks awesome. The cast looks great. Looks like they're having a really good time, especially George Lopez. I can't believe that he's in this, but I'm loving that. I would say that I'm pretty much sold. Probably just need at least one more trailer. So,
yeah, I have high hopes for this movie. It'll be interesting to see whether this character moves on or makes the cut into James Gunn's DC universe. But I hope we get to see more
now.
What, James Gunn's DC universe?
No, not that. I just thought that since we haven't gotten an official movie in their universe, it's like interesting that like all the DC movies that are coming out right now, it's like, okay, who's gonna make the cut? Is this character going to? It's just interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It's an interesting time to be a fan of DC.
This is true. Well, do you have anything else you want to say about Blue Beetle?
Not really. I think this gave us enough new stuff to look forward to. Like, I'm excited to see how, like, the hero transformation in front of the family. Like, I found that to be hilarious instead of it being, like, by himself or whatever.
That was freaking graphic a little bit. Like, goddamn.
Dude, it was hilarious.
I mean, it was funny, but I'm like, goddamn.
I think they captured just the sheer panic of what, like, the reality of that situation would be so well. And I loved it. I freaking loved it. And like I said, I love seeing something new and seeing a hero kind of not have a secret identity from his family is really cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, then you don't get to deal with his bullshit, like, I'm just trying to protect you, like, all that crap. It's going to be interesting to see, like, how they handle this dynamic.
Yeah.
So, I'm pumped.
All right, well, moving on to the second trailer we got. We got our second trailer for Barbie, which this movie, I do not know how to feel about this movie because it looks like a lot of fun. It's the jokes in it are really good, but just like, how are you going to make a Barbie movie work? I've heard that like they're taking some inspiration from like the Truman Show, and it does show at the end of the trailer Barbie and Ken like about to enter the real world, so it's gonna be interesting to see how they do that. Or how they tell the story. But, like, it looks like a lot of fun. I freaking laughed my ass off when, I think it was, like, one of the first scenes of the trailer, when Barbie steps out of her heels and her feet are still raised. I'm like, that is freaking hilarious. I love that attention to detail.
Dude, I have a feeling that a majority of what we saw with her being in, like, the Barbie world is going to be not a huge part of this movie.
No, don't say that. I want to be in the Barbie world.
I know, but I feel like she's going to travel to the real world pretty soon into the movie, and then just kind of be like cutting back and forth between whatever she's up to and whatever's going on in the Barbie world.
I don't know how to feel about that. But you know what? I hardly know jack shit about Barbie. All I know is my sister had some when I was growing up. Did I play with them with her? Of course I did. That's about all I know about Barbie. The only Barbie movie that I've actually, you know, like those like direct-to-DVD ones, the only one that I've ever seen of that, and I think it's because my sister wanted to watch it, actually, wait, no, I'm lying. Actually, I was the one that wanted to watch it.
What? Why?
I don't know, man. Because it looked interesting to me. It was like the only Barbie movie as a kid that caught my attention, and it was Barbie and the Nutcracker.
I've heard decent things about that one, but still, okay. You shouldn't have been super eager to watch that.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. That's the only interactions I've had with Barbie as a child and as an adult. I've had no interactions with Barbie as an adult. But like I said, looks fun. I'm very interested to see like what the real plot is of this movie. But the cast look like they're having a blast, which I love to see. So
same, like a cast having a good time can save a lot of stuff in a movie. I mean, to a point.
Yeah, there are some movies that did not happen. But, is there anything you want to add to the Barbie movie trailer?
Not really. I will say this, I am actually a little bit more interested in the behind the scenes of this movie than I am the actual movie, because I want to see like just how crazy they went with the Barbie world and like how much of it they is practical, because it all looked super real.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Although I'm still disappointed that I don't know, I can't remember who said it, but the Barbie World song isn't going to be in this movie. That's so sad.
I'm not that upset about it.
Wow, I can't believe you. How can you not love I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie?
Pretty easily.
Wow. Wow. And I thought we were bros. Guess not.
Yeah, that I could say the same thing.
About what?
I said, I thought we were bros.
Oh. Oh, okay. So you're saying loving that song it is not bro-like. Okay, I see how it is.
Well, you no, might get I give that song a hard time. I just have a particular distaste for it because it was played so frequently when I was younger. It just kind of like got seared into my brain and made me like really hate it.
I will admit, I don't like the voices that they choose to sing for Barbie and Ken. I would love it. I would love to hear a version that is sung by Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, but I want them to take it like super serious, like not parody.
Yes. Yes.
I'd be down for
dude,
that.
Dude, why didn't they think of this? Come on. They could turn this into the next La La Land.
Dude, no shit. That'd be hilarious.
That's seriously what? Oh, man. Well, apparently we can write better music for the Barbie movie. So, before we pat ourselves on the back end anymore, moving on to our final trailer, we got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse's second trailer. And holy shit, this movie looks freaking incredible. Like, the animation already looks like a touch better than the first one, and I didn't even think that was possible.
I didn't either. But bro, this movie looks freaking sick.
There are so many iconic lines in this movie, just this trailer alone. Like the one that, what is Spider-Man 2099's? Is it
Miguel O'Hara?
Miguel O'Hara. I'm pretty sure it's him that says the line that says Spider-Man is a sacrifice. You have to choose between saving one person and saving an entire universe or something. Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I love the line of being Spider-Man is a sacrifice. I love that line so much. Because he's not wrong.
I know. Dude, that's freaking nuts. Like, the idea that this whole, like, spider society runs or is basically controlled by Miguel O'Hara, and he's only allows people that have, like, experienced a loss, like Uncle Ben. Like, at least that's the vibe that I'm getting from this, but that's a wild idea.
Yeah, no, it really is. And let's not forget the freaking part where he says, like, he tells Miles, no, you'll never be a part of this, and don't even get me started on the nerd from Earth, was it 19999, with Doctor Strange freaking throwing an into,
oh my No God. Way Home.
Thank you. Throwing in a No Way Home reference. That was freaking awesome.
Dude, and I'm so glad that they've chosen, they finally, like, or I don't know if this is like Sony's doing. I'd like to see what the behind the scenes looks like when it comes to labeling these universes.
Dude, straight up.
Because this is like the first time that we've had an actual MCU reference to a universe that's not Earth 616.
Yeah. That is very true.
So I'm super excited to at least get this debate figured out, because right now everyone's like, oh, it's 616, but everyone's arguing like, well, it can't be because the Marvel Comics are Earth 616. And so, like, all of these kind of fall into different universes, and it's fantastic. So I hope that Marvel just freaking runs with this, because my biggest issue with freaking Multiverse of Madness was them calling the MCU universe Earth 616.
Yeah, I want to see you brought that up in our review, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So I, like I said, beyond pumped to see what comes from this, if anything. Like, I will forever now be calling. I hope someone from Marvel, like, comes out and says, like, yes, this is, like, the definitive number for the MCU. So
it's, like, a long-ass number, though.
It is. But it's also, like, the furthest departure from Earth 616.
Touché.
So, I like I said, I'm very excited. I would love to see some cameos from MCU properties. Maybe Toby and Andrew. I think that would be fantastic. Even if it's just like a little blurred. Like, I'd be really excited. Be amazing.
That'd be super dope.
Yeah, so very excited. But I mean, dude, shit, like this thing, like this trailer has so much. Like, I gotta say, my favorite bit, like, I actually have two favorite bits, but I love when Miguel calls over, like, whatever intercom system, and he's like, "Stop Spider-Man," and everyone's just like, "You?" And they're all, like, just pointing at each other.
so good.
And then the one Spider-Man giving therapy to the other one, like, freaking love that bit. And then my Uncle Ben, let me guess, he was dead.
I agree with the parts that you said. I especially really liked that towards the end of the trailer, Miles is just, he straight up's just like, yeah, I know you guys are trying to tell me the Spider-Man that I'm supposed to be, but I'm going to do it my own way. And I really like that.
I do too. I wonder how... I can't wait for this movie, dude. Like, this movie looks like it's going to be so freaking fun.
It really does. And I don't know if it can beat the first one if it can be better than the first one, but from these trailers, it damn looks like it just might be.
Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't be more excited. Like, just being able to see Peter B. Parker come back, all the other, like, Spider-Men that we're going to be able to see, like, oh, freaking pumped. And I can't wait to watch the freaking people that pick out every single detail from these trailers.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm looking.
I'll see if anyone's already done it.
Yeah, it's just to see what people have picked out. But I mean, it's like all different types of Spider-Man. I'm trying to find pictures of, like, the big group shots.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, we're going to see, like, hell, it freaking looks like the PS4 Spider-Man is in here. Like, classic comic book Spider-Man. The one from, Ultimate Spider-Man? Not Ultimate Spider-Man. There's, like, the Spider-Man show where he's in the future. But there's, like, a bunch of different versions of Spider-Man in here. I can't wait for people to point them out.
I don't know if I would either. One, I don't have the time, and two, I don't know, I think I have, like, the mental capacity to do that kind of shit. But kudos to anyone that does.
Yeah, my favorite resource for breakdowns like that is New Rock Stars. I think I've shared a couple videos of theirs with you.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, they are, like, deep dive. Like, it's freaking nuts. Like, they'll freaking call out even, like, little throwaway lines from movies, too. Like, when they get into, like, the nitty-gritty.
Damn.
Even if it's something that we know, like, I think, like, even in their Deadpool 2 breakdown, when Deadpool's making that, like, the sun's getting real low, big guy, like, he says, of course, like, or, like, he'll make a comment being like, of course, this is a reference to Age of Ultron, where Black Widow says this to Hulk, blah, 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 and then he, like, moves on real quick. Like, those obvious ones, like, he'll just make a quick note about, but he'll still call them out, and I'm like, perfect.
Okay, I can appreciate that.
Yeah, so, again, could not be more excited for this movie, and just solely based off of how excited I am because of how well the first one stuck with me.
All right, if you had to rank these 1 to 3 excitement level,
where'd you go? Damn. All right, unfortunately, I'm throwing Barbie at 3. Blue Beetle, and then Spider-Man.
Fair enough.
That pains me to say, but I think I'm with you. I need a little bit more Blue Beetle before I'm ready to make a call on whether I'm more excited for Spider-Man. But Spider-Man's okay. Been on top of my list since it got announced, so.
Fair. 3, I'm actually going to give to Blue Beetle. I'm sorry.
What?
Don't get me wrong. Okay. I'm excited for it. It looks very interesting. But it's just, I don't know anything about the character. So I feel like you said, just need a little bit more. But because of that, and just, I don't know what else to say with that. Just, I don't know. Like, it, I'm sorry, Barbie impressed me a little more. So Barbie is 2 for most anticipated. Like I said, I don't know what to think about this movie, but it still looks like a blast, and I'm loving this cast so much. So Barbie 2, and then, yeah, same as Caleb, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse 1. Fantastic trailer. Even better than the first trailer, and just, I can't say enough good things about what they've shown us. And I appreciate it, or at least it doesn't look like they're spoiling a lot, which I always appreciate in movie trailers. Yeah, 1, most definitely.
Yeah, easily. I just hope that they have other big or just beautifully done scenes outside of what they've shown. Because I'm afraid that, like, one of the highest moments of, like, conflict are going to be when all the Spider-Men are chasing Miles.
That's fair.
So I'm a little worried about that, but not so much that it affects my excitement.
Well, I would say that wraps up Through the Wall. So what do you say we move this headliner?
I say let's do it.
All right, so for this week's headliner, we'll be breaking down Dungeons & Dragons: Honor Among Thieves. Caleb, would you like to let all these fine folk know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give our own personal score at the very end. All of these numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm, which I fixed last week. And all of that gets added up and gives us a letter grade to compare this to other movies of a similar grade, as well as a percentage, which is not as important. But it is fun to see where these movies rank within their categories, or within their grade levels. So, with that, if you have not seen Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, Rose is about to spoil the entire freaking movie for you. So yeah, if you listen past this point and have not seen the movie and anything is spoiled for you, it is your own fault.
I'm going to apologize right now if I mispronounce any words, because I have never played Dungeons & Dragons, so yeah, just heads up. So don't come after me if I mispronounce any of these big words.
I know, I'm pulling up the Wikipedia to help you out.
Thanks, man. All right. Prior to imprisonment, Bard Edgin Darvis spent years as a member of the Harpers, an order of peacekeepers, until a red wizard he had antagonized killed his wife. Accompanied by barbarian Holga Kilgore, Edgin attempted to make a new life for himself and his daughter Kira by turning to theft, teaming with amateur sorcerer Simon Amar and rogue forge Fitzwilliam, along with the latter's mysterious acquaintance. Not even effing up a D&D word. Acquaintance Sophina. While raiding a Harper stronghold, Edgin attempted to steal a tablet of resurrection to bring his wife back to life, but he and Holga were captured while their accomplices escaped. After 2 years in Revel's End Arctic prison, the pair escape to Neverwinter and learn that Forge has become lord there after its prior lord became mysteriously incapacitated. Forge has been taking care of Kira and has convinced her that Edgin's greed and selfishness led to his arrest. Sophina is revealed to be a red wizard, and she and Forge deliberately orchestrated their capture. Sophina attempted to execute Edgin and Holga, but they escape and decide to rob Forge's vault and bring Kira home with them during the upcoming High Sun Games at the stadium, needing the tablet to prove their innocence. The gladiatorial games had previously been banned, but Forge reinstituted them, promising that the games would bring in tourists and money. Edgin and Holga track down Simon to help, and he suggests also recruiting Doric, a tiefling druid whose forest community is fighting the forced logging ordered by Forge. Doric infiltrates Forge's castle by animal shapeshifting and finds the vault has magical defenses from Mordenkainen, which Simon declares he lacks power to disable. Simon proposes that a magic relic, the Helm of Disjunction, could disable them. They travel to an old graveyard to ask Holga's ancestors where to find it. Simon resurrects the dead with a talisman long enough for them to answer 5 questions. The corpses reveal they gave the helm to Zenk Zandar, a paladin who fled his country, when the Red Wizards turned his people into an undead army. Zenk? Sure. Or Ankh? I have no idea.
I'd say Zenk.
Zenk? Okay. After forcing Edgin to swear to distribute any gained bounty to the people, guides the group through the Underdark to retrieve the helm. With the help of a teleportation staff obtained from Holga's halfling ex-husband, they find the relic but are attacked by Thayan assassins sent by Sophina. Zenk fights off the assassins and helps the group escape from Thember Chod, a pudgy red dragon, before departing. Simon has trouble mastering the helm's power, so they decide to use the staff to enter the vault during the games. Simon and Holga infiltrate the magically sealed door, but find the room behind it empty except for a magical trap. The whole group is captured and forced to participate in the games, but manages to escape. Doric discovers that Forge has loaded the treasure onto a boat and is preparing to flee, so the group steals the boat for themselves and rescues Kira from Forge, who threatened Kira's life. As they escape, the group realize that Sophina organized the games to draw a massive crowd and turn them into an undead army using the same curse that destroyed Thay. The group returns and transports Forge's stolen riches out of the boat with the teleportation staff and spreads them across the city, drawing the people out of the stadium before Sophina's spell takes effect. Outraged at her defeat, Sophina attacks the group, but Simon is able to master his magic and nullify Sophina's time-stop spell, allowing Kira to use an invisibility pendant Edgin and Holga gave her as a child to place an anti-magic bracelet on Sophina. Sophina is subsequently killed when attacked by Doric in owlbear form and then crushed by falling debris, but Holga is fatally injured in the battle. Edgin uses the tablet to bring her back to life, as he accepts that he wanted to bring back his wife only for his own sake, while Holga had become a true part of their family. Doric signals openness to a relationship with Simon. Restored, the old lord of Neverwinter declares the team heroes of the realm, and Forge is sent to Revel's End.
Okay. Ooh.
That's the way to start. Oof.
Okay. This is something that I will say. The story itself was fairly good. I think them like kind of solely basing this story off of the source material was a really good decision. But I think there were some things that they failed to take into account. I will say this, the whole, as fun as it was, I think the quest for that helm was a bit wasted, I'll say.
I mean, fair, but at the time they didn't know that.
That is true. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Actually, that's not necessarily true because Edgin knew.
Oh yeah, that's true. God damn it. Yeah, but isn't that like kind of in his care? Like he was hopeful that that it would still work out. So like I don't know, it was kind of in his character that he would still push on for them to get it.
I don't know, dude. That's a stretch for me. It's just
I'm trying really hard to make you like this movie.
I know. Well, I'm not saying I disliked it. Like, I actually had a really good time with this. There were just some things that I felt were missing from this. And okay. One of the things that I felt was missing, and I don't know if this is maybe an unpopular opinion, but when I listen to other people playing Dungeons and Dragons, I do not like the shows where they don't talk about what they roll. Like, when they just kind of talk and like go through the story like their roles didn't really happen, or just kind of ignore their roles and just kind of like not ignore, because I mean they still affect the story or whatever, but it's when they just don't acknowledge them, like when we as like the listeners don't get to hear what the scores or what the roles are or what they end up being, right? So my issue is that we didn't get anything like that. Like, I think it would have been interesting. And tell me if this is dumb. Like, I was thinking about this on my way home from seeing this. Do you think that it would have been interesting to hear, like an overarching narrator, right? Like, just kind of a, like an all-knowing voice. Like, the voice of the universe, okay? And talking about how, like, every decision made, every act, every blah, blah, blah is up to fate. It is a roll of the dice. And so all of these things that they're, like, that they do, you get to see, like, the cosmic roll of the dice, in a way. So, like, let's say, like, right before they grab that council member, that,
Was his name Jonathan, or was it a different name?
It's, like, Jorn, Jonathan, or something like that.
Okay.
Jonathan. J-A-R.
Oh, okay. Jonathan. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if anyone starts calling me that.
So, this is what I was thinking. Is like, just as like a cosmic nod, right? It's like, they're, like you hear this cosmic voice like talking about the random roll of the dice. And then Chris Pine is like talking through, like doing his whole little spiel, and then it kind of cuts to a dice, and it's like while he's sharing the story, and they're like waiting to vote on his release or whatever, you see this roll of the dice, and then it's like while it's in the middle of rolling, it cuts to, and then Jonathan comes in. And then they're like, oh, snap, like, we just grab him and jump out the window. like they do all that, and then it's like you roll like you, it's like an obvious like different dice, and it like rolls like just some random ass number, but like because hold on, I want to. Do you understand like the dice rolling system?
No. Let's pretend that I know jack shit about Dungeons and Dragons. Not one thing.
Okay. Okay. So this is kind of like the basis for how Dungeons and Dragons works when it comes to dice rolling. Okay?
Okay.
So obviously this is coming from someone that doesn't know any better, but if you are going to, like, any action that you have, like, that's, it's anything, like, literally anything. Like, if you're shooting an arrow and you're trying to see if it hits its target, you roll the dice. Now.
Okay.
There are two, like, major rolls that you can get. There's a natural 1 and a natural 20. So that's rolling a 20-sided die and either rolling a 1 or a 20. The 1 is called, like, just, it's like, it's a nat 1. Nat 1s are, like, the worst roll that you can possibly get. So it's basically, whatever you're trying to do, it fails. Like, without question. So, like, and usually, like, if you roll a 1, it usually causes harm to the team in some way, shape, or form. So, I've seen stuff where it's been like, oh, I go to shoot my arrow at this bad guy. Okay, what do you roll? I rolled a nat 1. Okay, well, your arrow completely misses the bad guy and hits your friend.
Shit.
And then your friend takes so-and-so damage. Like, one of the Dungeons & Dragons podcasts I listened to, on the first freaking episode, the dude is, like, charging into battle to fight a bear or something. He rolls a nat 1 and he slips and he freaking cuts himself on his sword. So a nat one is just like the worst thing that can happen. It's just gonna jack you up. So, and then from what I can tell, it's like lower. It's kind of up to the dungeon master's discretion on what succeeds or what doesn't succeed. Usually, I think it's anything above a 10. Will it just kind of varies on. Like, anything below a 10 will usually fail, but it's not going to be, like, a critical fail. Where okay. It's just like, okay, like, I'm going to go try this. It doesn't work. But it's not going to, like, jack you up, like, cutting yourself or taking some sort of damage or whatever. Whereas getting a 10 or higher, again, it's up to the Dungeon Master's discretion. Your thing will work. And if you roll a natural 20, that is like the best roll that you can get. Like no matter, like whatever you're trying to do succeeds, like it's just an automatic success. And sometimes they'll throw in like, oh, now like you get to do something like really badass.
Okay.
Like I think like one that I recall hearing is like he shot the arrow at this target or something he was trying to hit from really far away. He needed a roll above a certain number. He ended up rolling a natural 20 and he's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, like while they're like, these people are trying to stop your arrow, so they take all these rings and throw them up, but your arrow just flies all the way through those rings and like hits like just something over the top like that. Okay. So that's kind of like the system. It's like higher than 10 is usually a success, lower than 10 usually a fail. Natural 1 is like a devastating fail, and a natural 20 is like an outstanding success.
Interesting.
Again, do not quote me on that. Like, that is
That I'm going to coach on him, Al.
I know, but, well, it's just the stuff. So, it's just from shows that I've seen. And again, that, like, there's other rules into that. That's just, like, the dirty description.
Okay.
Just so you understand what this is, what I'm talking about. I think it would have been interesting to have these cosmic dice that get rolled anytime we get a, not every time, because I think that it would get old after a while, but during, like, big moments. Like, I think we need to see it at the beginning when they're, like, trying to, like, talk their way out of prison, versus, like, I don't know, just, like, random ass things. It's just unnecessary, but it's like, when they're trying to talk themselves out of prison, we get to see these cosmic dice roll. We don't get to see one of them finish rolling because they're like, oh, change of plan, we're grabbing this guy and jumping out the window. And so, like, you see just, like, them roll a pretty successful roll, so, let, I don't know, like a 15 or something. They escape, they get out of the way, and all's good with the world. But then you see, like, the dice, like, start to finish when it's, like, in regard to their release from prison, and it's, like, a nat 20 or something like that. Or it's just like, oh, yeah, like we were, like, what they did, like, you guys, like, we approved you.
Yeah.
Something like that. And then, like, when it came to Simon trying to put on the helmet, it should have just been, like, a natural one. Like, again, I think it's something that I'd have to see done first to know if it would work, but that's something that I would, an aspect of this movie I would have appreciated them adding. Okay. Just so it felt more like we were included on, like, what's about to happen.
That's, okay. I see where you're coming from. I don't know, maybe it's just me because I've never played the game in my entire life, and, like, I really haven't seen, like, anything about it, anything like that. Like, I kind of liked, like, I look at your way, being, like, with the whole, like, dice thing, I really like that idea, you know, like, that, like, makes it truly feel like you're not playing a Dungeons & Dragons, like, you're not, like, playing it, wow. You're not playing it at home, but because they're incorporating the dice, it truly feels like it's like your own adventure. It's you're still playing Dungeons and Dragons. Is that kind of what you're going for?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay. For me, maybe it's like you said. Don't worry, I really like that idea, but maybe it's just because I've never played the games. I kind of like that it. Like, it still feels like a Dungeons and Dragons game because, you know, like, all the character types that they have in it, all the monsters, everything. But I like that it's simply just, like, a fantasy adventure movie. It, like, there's no mention of, like, the dice or anything like that. Like, it feels like you're whisked into a Dungeons and Dragons, like, adventure game, but it doesn't necessarily feel like you're playing it, I guess. I don't know if I'm, like, saying this right, because, like I said, I've never played it. Literally know jack shit about this property. So I liked that it honestly just felt like another fantasy adventure movie. A good one at that, though.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I know I'm giving it a hard time. It's just, from what I can tell, for someone that is familiar with the rules of the game to a certain point, I would have liked the inclusion of that a little bit more, but that's not to disregard, like, how well the story was told. I think that other than the helm, or what was it called? The Helm of Disjunction. Other than that whole storyline and that just, like, ultimately not working, I think everything else was told really well. And this is kind of the same issue I had with, like, the, like, Finn's story in The Last Jedi. It's just kind of like, okay, well, we went through all this trouble for nothing. But I do understand where you're coming from, where it's like, you know, it was an option, it just didn't work. Where I guess when you word it like that, it does, that kind of does feel very Dungeons and Dragons-esque, where not everything that happens is going to, like, contribute to the, like, the ending. So it's just, it's interesting. So
yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
But yeah, I mean, the pacing was good. I think I felt like it maybe had a bit of a slow start, and then just like slowly started picking up.
I will definitely agree with that. If anything, actually, for me, I think like the beginning was a little too abrupt for me. Like I know I keep like circling back to this, but since like, this is my first introduction to this world, I literally know nothing. Just the fact that, you know, we're introduced to these two characters and all of a sudden, bam, it's a prison escape. I'm like, okay, whoa. Can I get to know these characters a little more before we, like, go into, like, that much of a big, story plot in this movie? But, I mean, you know, of course, as the movie, goes along, gets another, Chris Pine's, name in this movie. You get to know Edgin and Holga's like backstory and story in general a lot more. So like looking back at it, like it's a fine opening. It's a good opening especially. It's just it was very abrupt for me being my first introduction into this world.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah. It's just I think consistent pacing may have been the biggest issue with this story. Again, the story itself wasn't bad. It's just the pacing. It just kind of went from slow to quick to back to like slow a bit, and it just kind of kept jumping back and forth. And it's like, okay, can we just freaking snap the ball on time?
I know a lot of people have said that, like, it definitely didn't need to be as long as it was. It definitely could have been cut down to like, even like 2 hours. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that.
I would too. I just don't know where. So I went and saw this with Christina. I know exactly where. Oh, really? Where?
I think they could have cut down the freaking digging up the corpses things a little bit.
What?
It was okay.
Dude,
it was
that was
funny.
My favorite part.
It was funny, but I think they could have trimmed it just a hair.
I'm sorry. No, every single body that they talked to was freaking hilarious. So I'm sorry. I can't cut that scene down. That was just too good.
All right.
The fact that that was the end credit scene. Or the mid-credits scene was freaking hilarious. One guy that they never asked the last question to was still alive.
Dude, how funny would it have been if he was asked himself the question and then passed out?
Dude, that'd be trippy as fuck. It's like, oh, okay, so it can work that way too.
Yeah. Like, he just didn't think about that. He's just like, I wonder if I can, like, can I ask myself a question? And boom.
Damn, they should have done that. That would have been really funny.
Oh, man, that would have been great. But I will say this. I don't like that I feel like that needed to be cut down. But if they were trying to save time, that's probably where I would have gone.
Okay.
But from, like, the consumer's perspective, I really did enjoy that scene. Dude, interaction was so freaking funny. Like, I freaking love
dude,
it.
Dude, I thought that was
the question. Yes. No.
I thought it was just going to be one body. I didn't think that they were going to bounce casket to casket. That really actually caught me by surprise. I thought it was just going to be one.
Yeah,
so
well,
that made the whole scene even better.
Yeah, so I think with me kind of knowing the difference between, so like spells and enchantments and just like little stuff like that, with stuff with like trinkets, those usually you're able to use more than once. So I that's where I thought, and I'm like, okay, they're probably going to do this with more than just one.
Okay.
So, yeah, really, really freaking funny with that.
Dude, I found it funny that, so I went and saw this with Christina, and she actually has a knowledge of Dungeons & Dragons. She played it, with her, previous boyfriend. But she expected me to, like, not be bored out of my mind, but, like, confused as fuck, which I was, and because of that, she thought I wasn't gonna enjoy it at all and, like, actually, like, fall asleep. But I did not fall asleep once in this movie, and I'm very proud of that, because I was thoroughly entertained through the whole thing.
That's really good. It's interesting that we have, like, we should have gotten her on.
She, like, I had asked her, and we had talked about it, but unfortunately, she was really busy today, so it didn't come to fruition.
Man, that sucks.
I know.
It would have been interesting to have these different perspectives. Someone who's, like, completely unfamiliar with the source material, someone who's, like, slightly, like, just kind of a fan of the source material, and then someone who's actually, like, played it.
Yeah.
But, bro, like, I really want to get into Dungeons & Dragons.
I definitely at least want to play one game after this movie. Like, but it has to be with, like, with certain people, especially considering that it'd be my first introduction. Like, I don't want someone that's going to, like, literally is so intense when it comes to these games that they're just like, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. No, that's no way that could happen. Like, I know that that's how it's supposed to be, but it's like, this is my first time playing. Can you cut me some slack here?
Yeah. Well, from what I've heard, like, if you're a new player, like, a lot of people, like, will take it easy on you. But
oh, okay.
Well, I'm good. With you, but I'm actually more interested in doing, like, a homebrew story.
Okay.
Like, I've seen a lot of, like, that's a majority of whatever that I listen to. It's people coming up with their own stories, using their own lore and everything, and, like, just using the Dungeons & Dragons game mechanics. So, like, they play everything like it's Dungeons & Dragons, but it's their own story, which is, like, the major appeal to D&D.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I want to do something like that, but it's just A, finding the time to, and then B, like, finding a group of or some people to play that.
Do any of your coworkers play D&D?
No, all my coworkers are, like, in their 50s and 60s.
Oh. Damn it.
Yeah, that I mean sucks. There's a few people that are a little younger, but they're still older than me. I'm one of the youngest people that works where I work.
Dude, no shit.
Yeah, so it's I don't have a whole lot of people that I relate to on a personal level. But anyway, like I wish. I think I just need to branch out a bit more, but it's I don't know. Well, I'll figure it out once I get my shit together.
your shit together? You okay?
Yeah, just no, like it's just crazy.
Okay.
Like,
you sure you're okay?
Yeah, quit trying to bring up my shit.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just making sure as your best bud that you're doing okay. I didn't mean to do it on the podcast, but I'm just making sure.
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's just
okay.
Like I said, it's just attempting to find the time.
Okay.
Like, hopefully it gets better as time goes on, but who knows? Anyway, getting back into this story. I had very few problems with it. I thought that the story was pretty exceptional. Even though they did have the friggin' Last Jedi situation with the helm, I can honestly let that go, and that's mainly due to just what you said about it. So, I think I'm like in 84.
That's not bad.
Yeah, where are you at?
Actually, I would say I'm just like I'm gonna go 1 point above you, an 85.
Fair. Alrighty, next up we got writing. This was pretty on point too.
Right, yeah. If I actually think the writing was better than the story.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I could definitely give you that. I think the dialogue was really well done. Nothing felt like it was wasted. Like, it didn't feel like there was anything like unnecessary. Like, everything that was said served a purpose.
Honestly, I felt every joke hit too. At least for me, it did.
I think there might have been half one of them or two that didn't.
All right.
Yeah, it's hard for me to like. Could you list one that's like that you didn't understand?
I swear there isn't there like. God damn it! Maybe I can't actually. Because I swear that there was a joke that they made with like the whole lead up to the whole like games thing, that just went straight over my head, and the whole audience is laughing and my sister is laughing. I'm just like, I don't get it.
Damn, I had like three people in the theater with me, and they were like the most unresponsive group. So I don't know. Dude, if like I missed any.
That makes me sad. I don't know, dude, like when I, cause we went and saw it Friday and it was a packed house. It was awesome.
Damn. Yeah. I went today, like seriously an hour before, like I got back an hour before we started recording.
Damn, man. But, cutting it close.
Yeah, I know. I was cutting it real close. I was trying to go see it with Brielle earlier than that, but our sitter never got back to us. So I had to go by myself. Aww. And by the time I was like ready, like by the time I was like at crunch time, I was just like, hey, I need to go. it was too late to get a sitter to
come.
It is what it is. It happens. But yeah, like I said, they were like super unresponsive, and it was like with every joke. Like there were some jokes that I absolutely got. That I laughed at and no one else did. And that made me feel like such a loser.
Okay. There's one that I can remember that I feel everyone in the audience laughed at. And I want to know if your audience did. The part where, God damn it. What's his. Sorry, one sec. Zenk. When he, leaves the group and walks away. And how Pine is commenting on how, he walks in such a straight line. Do you think he's going to go around the rock? Nope, he's going over the rock. Still so straight. That like that, did your audience laugh, or was it very silent?
It was silent, but I laughed at that.
Yeah, I did. Damn, your audience sucked.
Yeah, dude, they didn't laugh at shit.
Like, even if you're not a D&D fan, that's a funny joke.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that was, like, a D&D specific joke, though.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. But, God, people suck.
Yeah, they do. I'd rather have people overreacting than underreacting.
Dude, same.
Absolutely. Because I feel like there's jokes that were made that I, like, laugh really hard with, like when freaking Holga went back to her house or her ex-husband's house and it was freaking tiny Bradley Cooper, I was laughing my ass off, and no one else, like, too. They didn't make a peep.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm like, did you guys already see this, or like
this is some bullshit? Yeah,
like why do I feel like an asshole? I know. Dude, it freaking sucked, because it's like there were three people in front of me, and then there was one person behind me, and they like none of them laughed. Like, I think I heard the guy behind me like crunching on popcorn more than I heard him laugh. Yeah, it was freaking ridiculous. So, like I said, freaking made me feel self-conscious as hell when I was laughing. But it was, but I think I agree with you. The writing is a little bit higher. I think I'm just going to give it that one bonus point, though, above story. I think it was sitting at like an 85.
I think I'm going to go 2 points ahead. I'm going to go an 87.
Completely fair. All right, moving on over to acting. We have Chris Pine, who plays Edgin. Michelle Rodriguez, who plays Holga. I'm going to say Reggie Jean Page, who plays Zenk. Justice Smith, who plays Simon. Sophia Lillis, who plays Doric. Hugh Grant, who plays Forge. And then Daisy Head, who plays Sophina. I would include Chloe Coleman, but she was kind of a small part of this movie.
Who was Chloe Coleman?
She played Kira.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I think this is going to be an interesting top three.
Yes, I agree.
So what's your top three look like?
Can I do top four?
Yeah, you can do top four.
Okay. Four I would give to Sophia Lillis. Loved her as Doric.
Is it Lillis?
Or is it Lillis? I swear it's Sophia Lillis. I think the S is silent.
Oh, alright.
I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on that.
Okay.
So I give her number four. Number three, I'd give to Michelle Rodriguez, who played Holga. Loved her performance. Great job. Really, also really, really good jokes. And just the way that, like, she reacted to the whole freaking Bradley Cooper being... honestly, it was kind of like a Hobbit character in a way. It was one of the best scenes in the whole movie, and her acting is definitely a credit to that.
Let me see. Like, so he actually has like a he's a halfling.
A halfling. Okay. All right. Pull star with an H. That's funny. Number two, I would give Justice Smith to Simon. I freaking loved the whole like doesn't exactly is he a wizard, right? He's just a wizard.
Sorcerer.
Sorcerer. Sorry, God. Like he's a sorcerer, but doesn't exactly fully hasn't fully like grown into one yet. He doesn't exactly always know what to do or how to use his powers, and so through the whole movie it was freaking hilarious. Especially when we're first reintroduced to him, that whole scene with the people getting mad that you know like he's pulling their leg, you know, ripping them off. Great, great scene. And then number one, yeah, I definitely got to give to Chris Pine as Edgin. Freaking, you could tell that he was having such a fun time in this role, and it really, really showed. Absolutely loved his character. I even thought that he had a really good character arc with his daughter. I thought that was actually really, really good. His character arc with Holga was also really good. So, yeah, that would be...
All right, if I'm doing a top four, I'm actually putting... Chris Pine at number four.
Ooh, okay.
And not because I didn't like him. Like, I thought he was really fun. I just thought he got a little outshined.
No.
I think making Chris Pine a bard character was just an inspired choice. I think I'm going to give him number four. My number three, I think I'm going to give to Justice Smith, who played Simon. I freaking love Justice Smith and everything that he's been in. Oh, I take that back. He was in Jurassic World. I'll take that back.
Damn.
But I will say
this.
It wasn't that great either. Yeah, so I'll give him my number three just because I really enjoyed him. I loved his growth through this and how well he portrayed that and just his goofy, non-confident self and just kind of slowly getting to that point of being like a good sorcerer. My number three. Oh, damn. I'll give it to Sophia Lillie, who played Doric. I thought she was incredible throughout this whole thing. She did kind of play it a little bit dry, but I think it worked for her character, like who she was. So I dug her. I
definitely agree.
Yeah. And then my number one, I'm going to give to Michelle Rodriguez. She was hilarious, dude.
Like, so great.
I'll be real. The only thing that I've like seen her in that like I'm looking through her IMDb like really quick, but the only thing that I've seen her in, at least so far, is the Fast and the Furious movies. But she was like the best part of those movies.
I've never even seen any of the ones that she's in, and I'll take your word for that. Because of how good she is in this one.
She's incredible, dude. Like, she is such a good actress and such a freaking badass. Like, I loved everything that she did. Like, my favorite thing is when they're about to get, like, executed. And she's asking the dude, like, how he cleans his axe. And she's just like, oh, you should be doing that monthly or weekly. And then, like, she freaking beats the shit out of him, takes his axe. And then he's like, or the freaking Edgin's like, all right, let's get the hell out of here. And he's like, but. And he's like, yeah, I know, the boiled linseed oil. Like, whatever, like, what she, what the guy said he cleaned the axe with. Like, like, I loved her. I loved how, like, just crazy she was. And one of the things about barbarians, and this is, like, one thing that I do know about this game, for sure, barbarians are usually not very smart because they put all of their stat points into strength and fighting and basically all the stuff that would help them in battle. So okay. They don't really throw any... Yeah, they don't really throw any points towards intelligence. And so having her just kind of be a little ditzy was fantastic.
It definitely really worked.
Yeah, it was... I feel it worked because you knew that she was, like, very capable. And it didn't come off like she was dumb. Like, knew that absolutely. She still had, like, an intelligence about her. It just wasn't, like, book smart stuff. Like, how she keeps, like, saying, like, throw magic at the problem.
Yeah.
Or just random shit like that. Like, I think she pulled it off incredibly well, where it's just like, okay, there's the barbarian in her showing. So I freaking loved her performance in this, and honestly, like, if they do have a sequel, I want to see more of her.
That's fair. I really hope that this movie is successful, because I definitely want to see more.
I do too. I think that they can do great things with the Dungeons & Dragons world. Like, even if they don't, like, I'll say this, I'll be bummed out if they don't continue this story, but I wouldn't be upset if they, like, moved on from this cast and just kind of had, like, just told Dungeons & Dragons stories with different cast.
As long as we got the same writers and directors, I'm perfectly fine with
it. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's what my top four looks like.
Very nice.
Definitely got to give the honorable mention to Reggie Jean Page He was... I hated him at first, and not like the actor, like, not saying he did a bad job, but like, he did a fantastic job at making me just feel like, oh man, this dude's a douche. And he just, like, kept playing that way, and I'm just like, like, it was irritating, but it was, like, fun, too. So, like, yeah. A character I love to hate.
Did you?
And for no reason other than his attitude.
Fair. What'd you think of Hugh Grant's performance?
I didn't mind it. It wasn't, like, outstanding to me or anything, but it was good.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Considering he was, like, part of, like, the main cast, I just wanted to get your opinion on him.
Yeah. And then I definitely got to give a shout-out to Daisy Head, who played Sophina. She played an incredibly intimidating protagonist.
Oh.
Antagonist.
Straight up. Straight up.
Yeah, so freaking loved her. So yeah, where are you sitting at with acting?
I would say that I'd say a solid 90.
I might be a tad lower than you. I think I'm sitting at like an 88.
Fair enough.
All right, next up we got character development, which I don't know about you, but I did based off of Edgin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's Chris Pine's character. I think he had some like really decent growth through this.
No, dude, I absolutely agree, especially the sacrifice that he makes at the, well, I guess not a sacrifice. But the decision that he makes at the ending to instead of bringing his wife back, he brings Holga back, not only for his daughter, but for him realizing that, you know what, actually, that this is what my wife would have wanted. So I think that was such a great character. The growth that we get up until that point is so, so good, to where when we get to that scene at the ending, it makes complete sense. It's not out of character.
Yeah, it really, like, strikes an emotional punch, because I think he finally, like, took that moment to realize that his daughter didn't know her mother. And so, in her eyes, I think he finally saw that she views her as kind of that mother figure. Where it's like, it's obviously, I don't think she views her like a mother, but just that strong feminine figure in her life. And I think it took a lot for Edgin to realize that what he was doing was, or what he was trying to do with resurrecting his wife, was more of a selfish act than what he thought was like for the greater good of his daughter. So I thought that was a really interesting story, and I wish we would have dived into it just a little bit more. But I think it worked out like amazingly well. Like, I had close to no issues with his arc.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely like a high point in this. Like, this might be one of my higher categories. But I think I'm gonna put, I mean, it's not much higher. I'm like at an 89.
No, I think I'll match you on that.
All right, next up we got effects. And bro, these effects were pretty freaking good.
I know it's, you know, played it off as a joke and everything, but I got freaking nightmare fuel when the whole, like, spell that they were doing for Chris Pine's Edgin to be in two places at once, but then the spell starts going haywire and his freaking like face starts morphing and he starts getting it looked awesome, like the effects looked super cool, but oh my god, was that shit nightmare fuel when his pupils got that freaking big. Like, I'm like, oh hell no,
dude, it was horrifying.
Dude, this movie freaking hits you with a couple freaking solid jump scares.
Dude, yeah, seriously.
Like, the freaking big one that I'm thinking of is when Sophina, when she, like, when they're, like, so it's when Forge is showing off the vault and everything, and Sophina, like, stops, and she's like, there's a wild, like, changeling among us, and then she just screams and points. Like, that scared the hell out of me.
Same here, man. Same here.
And then I'm trying to think of, like, some other shit that, like, scared me. The freaking jaguar-looking things. Like, those were scary, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, and I know I saw it in the damn commercials, but that damn, like, the box? Or the thing that looked like a chest?
Oh, yeah, dude. When that freaking mouth just popped out, yeah, that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's just like, good hell. Like, that has no business being that freaking scary.
Yeah, dude, straight up.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of shit like that. Like, it's just, like, completely random, like, totally took me off guard. Like, when they resurrected that first guy, at the battle, like, the cemetery, and it, like, took a second for him to be revived. Like, that was freaking terrifying.
What'd you think, how did the dragon look, in your opinion?
Oh, the freaking pudgy dragon?
Yeah.
I thought he looked really good.
No, like, honestly, I thought that he was on the level of how Smaug looked in The Hobbit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to judge, like, how realistic something looks when it comes to, like, a dragon and its movement, especially a fat dragon.
Fair.
But I think they did amazingly well, like, just keeping it on the same level as everything else within the scene, where it didn't feel like overly done, but didn't feel like poor quality either. Like, this was just like a perfect level.
I will say another effect that I really thought looked good was when they're using the whole spell to where you can teleport from one area to another if you can see it. And they're doing that with being able to transport into the room with, you know, like, all the treasures and everything. When they're, like, on the stagecoach and they're, like, trying to make it to where it's, like, attached to the... They attach it to the picture and they're trying to transport it into that room. Just everything that they have to go through, especially on the stagecoach, the way that... Like, it... I thought it was going to look campy, but they actually made it look really good to where they're trying to reach each other through, I don't even know how to explain it. What would you say, like, when you're reaching for someone through, like, a completely into a different, like, not dimension, but, like, you're reaching for someone, through a portal. That's the word I'm looking for. I don't know why it took me that long to get that. But, like, yeah, the whole scene where they're, you know, like, having to reach each other through the portal, just making it work. Like, I thought that was going to, like, I was afraid that was going to look bad. I'm just like, oh, yeah, no, like, I can, like, yeah, of course, that's, you know, like, fantasy and everything. That's impossible to happen in, you know, our world. But they made it look really realistic in this, and I got to give them applause for that.
Dude, absolutely. Like, I feel like I've seen movies that have portals. Like, obviously not to, like, that degree, but they come off looking super goofy. But they did a really solid job with these portals. So, I absolutely agree with you on that. Those portals were the bomb. And... Again, like, I freaking loved the, just, like, that Dungeons & Dragons style, like, oh, the painting fell, so they, like, it just completely effed up their plan.
Yeah, I'd be so freaking pissed if that happened.
Oh my gosh, dude, because I was thinking, I'm like, that's a freaking solid plan.
Yeah.
Like, that, that's like super ingenious. And then when that painting fell, I was just like, oh, damn it.
Son of a bitch.
I will say, I do feel like there is a bit of a plot hole there. Because the... I do feel like they probably could have reached their hand in and lifted the frame up. Because the frame stuck out more than the painting.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, but so I mean, that's a very minor gripe and not anything that I'm going to dock for. I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, they could have still gotten enough force to push it up. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, man. But... as much as I love the portal, though, I do feel it did kind of serve as a major plot device when it was just kind of something that she already, when that Holga already had on hand.
Okay.
So it just felt a little cheap, but I think I sufficiently docked for that in writing. I just wanted to bring that point up too, but major effects that, I gotta say, freaking Doric, whenever she was shape-shifting, like, her, like, anytime she changed forms, looked really freaking good.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely agree.
Other stuff. Oh, when she was, the last one, when she was beating the shit out of Sophina as the owlbear. Dude, that was brutal.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Dude, like, just when I thought, like, when she initially beat her up, I was just like, oh, damn, like, that was a little rough. And then she, here's Sophina just, and then she beats the shit out of her more, throws her against a wall, and then just, like, she hits this corner, falls down, and then just a shit ton of rocks come and crush her. I'm just like, good lord. Like, can you say overkill?
Yeah, dude, straight up.
So I freaking love that. So, oh man, the effects were rock solid, dude.
They really were.
Where are you sitting at?
I think I'm actually going to go a touch above my acting, and I'm going to go a 90.
I'm actually going to be a little bit nicer than you.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go up to 93. All right, next up we got music.
I will say the whole song that, or I don't know if it was songs or if it was different songs, oh my God, I keep forgetting these names. I'm sorry. Edgin and Holga, when they're leaving her place, are singing, and then also that they're singing together is, unfortunately, she's dying, but then of course, you know, she gets resurrected. Like, I loved that. That was great. But was it the same song? Was he playing the same song when he was trying to distract the guards?
Or was that, I think it was a different song.
Okay. So yeah, all the songs that, I'm going to remember this eventually. Edgin sung as a bard. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. They were really good. I think the only thing that was missing was just one really catchy song.
That's fair.
And this would have bumped it up significantly for me.
I mean, the music surrounding everything, just like the score, really good, though. Like, it definitely... It was intense. It added to the intensity when it needed to, and then of course it added to the emotional moments. So very well done soundtrack.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think with that, and then like you said, the songs that Chris Pine was singing, I think I'm somewhere around an 8.
Definitely agree.
All right, next up we got costumes. Got to say this, I really appreciate the practical costumes that they did.
Same here.
Like, freaking ingenious. I will say, and this isn't really an issue with the movie itself. I wish that there was a little bit more variety in the characters in terms of like what their species were. I think we saw some like really cool looking characters. I wish we would have gotten like a little bit more. Like, I would have really liked to see more like an orcish barbarian. Like, if you could have freaking orked up Michelle Rodriguez a little bit.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, it would have just been a wider variety. Like, I feel we got to see a lot of humanoid characters. We got to see creatures every once in a while. But I think overall, I would have liked to see more of the creature. But again, that's not. I would
definitely agree.
Yeah, nothing I'm going to dock for. It's just a point that I wanted.
No, it's fair.
But I mean, the costumes themselves. Not hating.
No, even though I've never played the game ever, like, honestly, I still really appreciated the costumes, the world that they're setting up. Every single costume for every character made sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, they all looked good, and I, like I said, gotta give freaking props to the practical costumes. Okay, I'm at, like, a pretty sturdy 9, and I could be talked up to a 10.
I don't know what else I could say to talk you up to a 10, because I'm also at a sturdy 9, so I don't know if I could convince myself to talk me up to a 10.
You know what? Fair enough. All right, last up, we got our own personal score. You want to take this one first?
I would love to. So, overall, me being a person that has not only ever played Dungeons & Dragons, but literally knows nothing about the franchise, the lore, nothing. Like, I literally went into this movie with 0% knowledge in anything, D. And I walked out having a little bit more knowledge. I will say I was confused during the movie, but I feel for newcomers, they actually do a really good job of moving the plot forward and making sure that, like, you have little to no knowledge with this franchise or with this property, you could still follow along, which I really, really appreciated. And it's just a really fun fantasy adventure movie. Really great, great characters, great effects. I just had a really good time. That's the biggest positive that I can say about this movie. I just had a great time. It's a fun fantasy movie, and that's really what I wanted from this. So I'm going to go an 88.
Not bad. Oh. Yeah, I had a really good time with this movie. I will say my expectations for this were a little bit higher than they probably should have been when I went in. So when I came out, it felt like I was a little disappointed, but kind of talking this through a bit more, it just kind of made me realize that maybe my expectations for it were a little too high, and just, it's completely unfair. And that's why I really like this, our system, because it kind of forces me to look at a movie a little bit more realistically and not through such like a fanboy eyes, and which the fanboy in me would have given this a little bit lower, which I mean I am a little bit lower than Rose, but not as low as I initially thought that I was going to be. Like, when I came out of this movie, I was sitting around like a 78-79 in terms of like my personal score. Yeah, like, it's not horrible, but I mean, it wasn't great either. So, I mean, coming out of it and just kind of managing my expectations, I do see this being one that I go back and explore again. Because it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It, like, and the more that I learned about Dungeons & Dragons, like, I'll love going back and seeing what little Easter eggs I missed and whatnot. But I think overall it was a really good time. Like Rose said, a really good fantasy adventure. And hopefully we get more out of this. So I think I'm going to be at an 84.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, just real quick, and it's because I just remembered. So before we get into what each of the categories scored, we did have a question of the week that we posted.
Oh yeah, shit.
Yeah.
Oops.
So we got a lot of comments on this one, and I am going to ignore the ones that didn't answer the question.
the movie recommendation ones?
Yes. Okay. Which we got a lot of. Enough. And that does not mean that we don't care about your responses. We do.
We appreciate it's you guys just recommending movies.
Yes. And we will be absolutely getting to a lot of these. Or as many as we can. But with the question of the week, I want to give special shout outs to the people that actually answer the damn question. So with that, the question that we posted was, what Dungeons and Dragons spell would you like to have in the real world? So, the first response that we got related to the question comes from Nick at Walmart_Neji, who says, I would love to have Wish. And so luckily he responded to what I asked, and I was like, for those of us unfamiliar with D&D, what does Wish do? he says, it's a wish that you, or a spell that you could wish for anything, like even to become a god, but you have to end someone to do it.
Damn.
So it sounds like, I'm just trying to see what it does. Yeah, so it's like a super high-ranking spell. And I don't see anything that says that it costs someone their life. But, I mean, if that's, again, he'd probably know better, but, I mean, that's a freaking brutal spell.
Dude, if it freaking caught up, like, goddamn. Sound like a soul for a soul scenario over here.
Yeah, a little bit. Let's see. We got another response from Kira Yoshi Cage, who says at Loomer Illuminati, who also said Wish.
All right.
So yeah, Wish is just apparently something you do to get anything. Like, you can wish for anything, which I guess is a useful spell, but there are, what they both said is that there are rules to having how you can use it. And so I looked it up real quick, and apparently the greater the thing you're wishing for, the more like issues that you'll have granting it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just like kind of like the a soul for a soul situation, where it's just whatever level of thing you're asking for, that's going to be the like equal cost to make it happen. Which is an interesting concept, too.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, let's see. Yep. We did get one from It Was All Yellow, who said, I don't play D&D, but probably something like fire. So just like a fire-based spell? Oh, yeah. And okay, here's one. We got one from a Bryce Van Hurick, who says @boosted_seat, who said, Tiny Servant. The spell is really useless, but would be just fun in the real world. I'm going to look up what Tiny Servant is. Alright, so here's what it does. You touch one tiny, non-magical object that isn't attached to another object or a surface and isn't being carried by another creature. The target animates and sprouts little arms and legs, becoming a creature under your control until the spell ends or the creature drops to 0 hit points. That sounds awesome.
that really does.
Dude, that would be the shit.
Yeah.
Especially dude, in the real really world, would. I'd freaking make all my toys come to life.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and the higher this or the higher level you are, the more things you can animate.
Oh, dude, I love it. That's awesome.
That is amazing. And I will say, so I don't know if this is like a homebrew spell or what. There is a Dungeons & Dragons game that I listen to where they have a spell called Unseen Servant, where it's this invisible entity that will do whatever you command it to do, but it's 100% invisible.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it doesn't make noise. Like, it doesn't do anything. It's just straight up invisible, but will do whatever you ask it to. And the way that the players used it was they used it to straight up bully a boss character. Because they got the unseen servant to walk behind the bad guy and push him over.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Oh man. So yeah, that is all the responses in relation to the question we asked. And again, we just want to thank everyone that did like comment on that. We will be getting to as many of these suggestions as we can. We are only human.
Yeah. What he said.
Yeah, but we'll make it happen. Anyway, getting back into, so going off that and getting back into our breakdown. So story ended up averaging out to an 84.5. Then writing jumped up a couple points, sitting at an 86. Acting jumped up even a little bit more, sitting at an 89. Character development on the exact same level, sitting at an 89. The effects had a significant jump, sitting at a 92. Music sitting down at an 8 out of 10. Costumes are a 9 out of 10. And our personal score averaged out to an 86. So, with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves has come out to a... B plus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that scored a lot higher than I thought it was going to. But I think rightfully so.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so it is sitting at... Oh shit, just lost it. Where'd it go? Oh, okay, there it is. So it is sitting at an 87.68%.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, like so it's definitely one of our higher ones. So this is a B plus movie. There are 54 B plus movies, and this one ranked number 30. So it's like dead center.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. So like I said, sitting at an 87.68, that puts it below Raya and the Last Dragon, which is sitting at an 87.81. It's also below The Prom, which is at an 88.12. It's below The Invisible Man, which is at an 88.23. It's below Glass Onion, which is at an 88.25. And then finally, it is below How to Train Your Dragon 2, which is at an 88.37.
All right.
Yeah. Going the opposite direction, it ended up above Parasite, which is at an 87.59.
Damn.
Yeah, right? It's above How to Train Your Dragon, which is at an 87.5, as well as The Black Phone, which is also at an 87.5.
Hey, wow.
Yeah. It's above Freaky, which is at an 87.37. And then finally, it is above Detective Pikachu, which is at an 87.31.
Okay. Yeah, it's not bad. Not at all.
Yeah, definitely not bad. Just for shits and giggles, so with Dungeons & Dragons being at an 87.68, to get one percentage away, you have to go down 15 movies.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it's being like one percentage away, it's Frozen 2. So Frozen 2 is below this, and then going one percentage above, you only go 7 above for it to be a full percentage away, and that's sitting at Bros.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so I don't know about you, but I really like where this ended up.
No, I do too. No, I think it's a really good placement for it.
So yeah.
Sweet. Well, unless you have anything else that you want to add about this movie, this episode.
Nope. That I do not.
Okay. Right. Well, if you like what you heard and want to hear more of our amazing voices, you can follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, literally everywhere, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You'll find us, even where you're listening right now. You found us. Good on you. You can also catch all of our episodes.
That sounded like really condescending. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to say anything, but
oh, okay. You probably should have, because I'm glad I stopped myself. You can also catch all of our episodes on YouTube as well, if that's your preferred listening platform. You can follow us on social media, where you can DM us with an episode idea that you have, answer our questions of the week, or a great place to recommend the movies that you want us to do recommendations for. And those are as followed. We got Facebook, facebook.com/TheAllBros, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at TheAllBros. Or if you would prefer, you can email us at TheAllBros. You can check out our website, tinyurl.com/TheAllBros. Or you can go buy all of our merch at tpublic.com/user/TheAllBros channel. Next week on the podcast, we will be breaking down the Super Mario Bros. Movie with a very special guest that we are so, so excited to have back. So you can look forward to that. But until next week, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we will catch you guys next week. I was gonna say your
build
line,
up on that
to,
one.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I was gonna say your line, but I'm like, no, I want to say my line.
Did you forget what your line was?
I did, actually. So, bye.
Deuces.